Well, my guest this week was to have been Justin Smith, but sadly, Justin tragically passed away on the weekend. His death has shocked many in the Bristol area and a lot of the wildlife and wildlife action groups. Really sad news, guys, and very unexpected.
It was indeed, yes. We were actually on our way back from our trip to Slimbridge and the Severn Bull when we actually saw it via Facebook, the power of social media, how it sort of gets around to everybody. It's sort of one of those things you read and then you sort of think, oh my God, is that real? Is that true? It's quite a shock.
Such
really.
A lively chap.
And such a wealth of knowledge to be lost as well. So.
Yes.
Absolutely. And we pay tribute to Justin this evening in the first part of the show. Richard.
The whole Bristol environmental community is mourning the sudden death of Justin Smith from a heart attack last weekend. He was a larger-than-life figure, an enthusiast who shared his knowledge and understanding of the complex and vital world of fungi with everyone. He gave his time and energy readily to others, and he was a regular guest visitor to this program, which he had agreed to do tonight. He was also a key member of the city's environmental team, and their tireless work behind the scenes to protect and enhance the very varied wildlife of the city is not often recognized, but plays a very significant role in ensuring that the city maintains its exceptional wildlife. He will be very greatly missed, and the thoughts of us all are with his nearest and dearest.
Thank you very much indeed, Richard. Now, joining us this evening, as our guest, we have Kit Elliott and Susan Acton Campbell. And guys, you both knew Kit very well. And Susan, you were telling me that 10 years ago he was helping you to.
To train work party leaders for the brand new Friends of Troopers Hill group. Justin was in our living room showing us various sharp implements and what we should and should not be doing with them. A great guy. Without him, Friends of Troopers Hill certainly wouldn't have taken off in the way it did. And he did so many fungi part fouries for us. And Kit found him absolutely delightful and so
yes,
willing
to
give his time.
He was extremely helpful, as you may recall from our last visit. We produced an audio trail for Troopers Hill, and he was very helpful and contributed to that twice actually, once on fungi and once on lichen. And my memory of Justin is this big, black-bearded, healthy-looking guy turning up on his bike. Now, if you know Troopers Hill, it's not an easy thing to cycle up to. It's kind of steep, actually, and he was always there, ready to go. What a guy,
yeah.
And what a loss.
Yeah, and the kids absolutely loved him. When we had fungi forays, they were absolutely gripped. They'd see this piratical figure with a gold earring, and you'd see their eyes just start gazing at him. And when he was turning over fungi and telling them different things, and he always found something to grip the attention. So you'd find out about a fungi called a wolf fart, and it was just fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. He was passionate about everything that he spoke about, but fungi and lichens, I gained so much information from him on these subjects. And you did he do many walks with you?
Well, just a year ago, in actual fact, we were just talking about this earlier on, we actually met Justin, our local St. George Strollers walking group that you mentioned, we'll be talking about later. We met him at Netham Park, and he took us around over on Netham Park talking about his favourite subject of lichens. And he was absolutely illuminating. I mean, I never knew there were so many different types of lichens for a start. A fountain of knowledge, he really was.
Absolutely. Now, you actually recorded Justin. When was the recording done?
It would have been late last summer. Yes, he was one of the last ones I recorded for the whole piece, really.
Before we go into that piece, I'd just like to read out two or three tributes which people have actually sent in. And one says, Justin was a pleasure to work with, a genuine nice guy, both as a friend and a colleague. This combined with his immense knowledge of wildlife and nature conservation and his ability to impart his knowledge to others in a way that was easy to understand means that his loss will be immeasurable. And that's from Steve Clampion, the allotments manager. And someone else has said, I'd just like to say his enthusiasm and knowledge was inspiring. A big man and a good drinking mate. And that's from Lee Cadogan, the Arbocure Cultural Officer. I hope I got that right. And also another of his colleagues has said, I had the great privilege of working with Justin. His knowledge of wildlife was encyclopedic, and he was great fun to work with. It was particularly enjoyable working with him out in the field, where he truly came into his own. He will be terribly missed, and that's from Dr. Nick Michael, Nature Conservation Officer from Planning. And you were talking about the fungi recording which you've done, which we happen to have. And here is Justin.
Fungi are organisms that were grouped with plants for a long time until biologists kind of acknowledged that to be a plant, you need to be photosynthesizing. So you need to be green, have green parts that trap the light and create energy from that. Fungi don't do that. Fungi are very unusual organisms that we only really detect when they produce something called their fruit bodies. Most of us are familiar with seeing mushrooms and toadstools out and about, but other strange and weird shapes will appear as well. There's balls and coral shapes and bracket fungi. Dead man's fingers or things like that. They are very interesting organisms because the majority of species just feed on dead matter. So dead plants, leaves, logs, trees, stumps, anything like that. And then another group of fungi that actually live in a relationship with plant species and with tree species. We're at this particular spot here by the birch tree because in the autumn time, which is the main time when the majority of the larger fungi will produce their fruit bodies, the mushroom and toadstool types, we have a species here called the fly agaric. And the fly agaric is quite an eye-catching beast. It's red with white spots and a white stem. And it grows in a direct relationship with birch trees, mostly, often with other trees as well. But on Trooper's Hill, it's growing with birch. And it will often form a patch or almost a ring growing around the birch tree. Now, very interestingly, the fly agaric, its name actually comes about from the French used to use it as a fly killer. They used to soak the fungus in milk, and because it contains quite a lot of poisons in there, the flies used to come down and they used to drink from the milk, and they become almost stupefied, a little bit drunk from drinking this milk with the fly agaric in it, and they were easy to swat then. So that's how he gets his name, the fly agaric. It's well known for being a poisonous species. It's been often used in shamanic rituals in Northern Europe and in parts of Siberia, wherein the shaman or religious person within a lot of villages would take the fly agaric and then travel to the different worlds to get messages from the dead and whatever else. And very interestingly, the fly agaric was used to herd in reindeer as well. Little caps were laid on the ground and the deer would munch it and then arrive back to base by just munching on these fly agarics. A lot of people think that the whole Santa Claus image, the red and white costume, may well come from the fly agaric. The very fact that in the Sami peoples of northern Finland and northern Norway, when they used to practice shamanism, the shaman used to arrive on a sleigh, often drawn by reindeer, jingle bells when he arrived in the village. And it's often said that he would see little people that would pass messages between the different worlds, which of course could be the elves that people use for packing Christmas presents, Santa uses for packing Christmas presents. So it's got a lot of these kind of folkloric context to it that originate from its appearance and how obvious it was. And in a way, it's probably one of the most familiar of fungi for a lot of people, because certainly in children's tales like Enid Blyton and Beatrix Potter, if there was little goings on in the woods, you'll often find the fly agaric being the mushroom that's illustrated in those books. When you're walking over Trooper's Hill in the autumn time, September to November, you'll probably find loads of different fungi, various sizes, just dotted around on there. Bear in mind, a lot of them are very difficult to identify, and an awful lot are very, very poisonous as well. So if you're really not sure on what you're doing, just leave them where they are. The other issue, certainly in conservation terms, is often picking mushrooms and taking everything that you see, actually leave nothing behind for people to see and for other animals that might depend on those fungi to feed, especially as the nights are kind of drawing in the autumn time, coming into winter. So it's probably best to take nothing but photographs and leave nothing but footprints on Trooper's Hill.
And if you would like to pass on tributes or messages of respect, please email rob@bristolparksforum.org.uk. And our thoughts are with Justin's family, his wife Lucy, and his young son Wilf. Justin Smith, who lost his life on Sunday.